This is In My Opinion with your host, Ray Dosky.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to In My Opinion. What a beautiful, beautiful Friday day. Unfortunately, we've got snow coming in this weekend, but there's no better way to stay indoors during that snow. Watch playoff after playoff after playoff game for Super Wild Card Weekend. I don't know why I want to say Super Bowl weekend, but Super Wild Card Weekend. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Ray Dosky. I'm your host here at the In My Opinion podcast. Today I've got my buddy joining me once again, Patton the General Cook. What's up, Patton?
Ray, how we doing? Quite frankly, if I got snowed in this past weekend, I wouldn't shed a tear. We got more football than I think I can handle, more playoff football than we can handle, but I quite frankly I think I'm ready for it.
Yeah, you know what I'm excited about? We get our first Monday night playoff game. Like, that's never happened before. Like, you get three games on Saturday and you get three games on Sunday and you've got a game going on Monday night. And we're going to be covering all that today. Later today, we're going to have Alan Bell, who's with CBS Sportsline, to go over all the games. He's been on multiple shows, Bill, you know, on the Greg Polk show. I mean, he's been around Nashville Sports Radio for a long time. Great guy, knows his stuff. And later on after that, we'll have Mike Petrilia talking about the Bengals versus Raiders matchup. He's with CLNS Media, as well as he's part of the Pro Football Writers Association. We're going to be talking to him as well. Also, probably going to talk to some Patriots Bills, which is going to be a great matchup. So there's a lot to look forward to for the show. I'm super excited. I'm super stoked. This is what we were. I'm excited about the chaos. I mean, the NFL season has brought so much drama, even to the very last game of the season. And here we are once again going into the wild card games coming up. And I'm just stoked. I mean, this is what I get excited about. You tell me, are you more excited about like when the football season is about to start or right when the playoffs are about to start? What does it for you, Patton?
Well, I think it's really hard to beat when you've kind of gone a whole summer and you've watched just the unbearable preseason games. And then you get week one of NFL football. That is really what I enjoy the most. But I tell you what, a tough second is getting playoff football, quite frankly. So I can kind of deal with getting playoff football, I guess, again. But when you look at the games, just a lot of them really close. There's a few in there like Kansas City and Pittsburgh. On the spread-wise or whatever, it's a little lopsided. But other than that, it is even matchups all the way through, especially, I think, in the NFC.
For sure, for sure. But before we start talking about the playoffs, there was some big news earlier this week. David Culley no longer the head coach for the Houston Texans. One and done year. I thought he was going to get another opportunity. I thought that he was going to stay there for the, you know, at least another year or two, because he really didn't have time to really kind of put his fingers on how he wants to construct this team. He was dealt a tough hand with no Deshaun Watson, no draft picks. I mean, he didn't have much talent to work with, traded all their good players away, dealt with injuries. And I mean, he was almost set up for failure. And I was frustrated at the fact that happened to him. Because you hear a frown from the media outlets, you know, talk to George Plaster or Watson Brown, who know him during his time when he was at Vanderbilt, when he was a coach there, that this guy was a great guy. And I think that he's going to get another opportunity if he desires to coach again. I mean, there's reports out that when he was let go that he only was on the hook for like another year for $4 million. But then later, I think Tom Pelissero said that he was going to be granted $17 million. That's what he was guaranteed for his contract. I'm just frustrated the fact that the Houston Texans, if you look at the AFC South, and this is what's hilarious to me. You look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had clowns in their stadium the last week of the year, the last game of the season, and ends up upsetting who? That's right, the Indianapolis Colts. Knocks them out of the playoffs, right? Then you have the Houston Texans, who have a one-and-done head coach. Then you get the Colts, where the GM is not sold, sounds like, on their quarterback, Carson Wentz, telling them that you need to make the layups, you got to make the surefire shots. And I was like, wow, saddle up. And then you have Tennessee Titans, number one in the AFC going into the playoffs. What is such a crazy dynamic in that whole situation? But my question to you is this. Are you surprised from the news that Culley was fired after 1 year? I mean, most of us were pretty shocked. I mean, but he was almost set for a failure, right? I mean, it's safe to say that.
And he really knew that coming in. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was a tad bit surprised, just because I don't think the people over there in Houston are dumb. They know the circumstances. They know really their franchise quarterback hasn't been on the field in over 12 months. So, in Deshaun Watson. So I was a bit surprised just because when you look at coaches that get fired, you get pretty good tendencies and indications on what's going on. Players coming out and saying, we're not happy. Players just not playing hard on the field. You've got drama left and right. Really, when you look at the Houston Texans, other than the Zach Cunningham situation, there really wasn't any of that. It was all pretty much in-house. There wasn't any kind of disgruntled play going on. And when you're only winning three or four games, that's pretty rare. And that's pretty rare for a first-time head coach. But really, when you look at what he did kind of late down the stretch, you look at the Titans game two times. He beat the Titans once and then took them down to the very last second in the second meeting. That's a guy who you can see the players love him. They're playing hard for him late in January. You see that the season's over for them. They're playing and they're making vacation tickets. And yet they're playing like that in week 18 now against the Titans. I was surprised because it's not a given that players play for their head coaches. We've seen many a times. We saw it this season in the very own division with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Just seemed to pretty much give up on their head coach after kind of the clown show that was going on over there. But when you look at the AFC South landscape, to me, this is what I think Peyton Manning was looking at in his time in Indy for about 5 or 6 years. The Jags couldn't get it right. The Titans kept getting in their own way, and the Texans were 9-7, 8-8, kind of just about every
single. Much like the Titans, they were 500 during Jeff Fisher's times when Peyton Manning was here.
Exactly. So I think what the Titans have now is what Peyton Manning had for about 5 or 6 years, where you look at it, and legitimately they have 4 free wins if they play up to their standard. Of course, they lost to the Texans, but where you sweep the Texans or the Jags, the Colts, and then you split with the Houston Texans. That's kind of what Peyton Manning had for years, and I know that's a little off topic, but it's just kind of interesting that for a while the AFC South, there was a year where it's like this is the best division in football, and now it's gone all the way back the other way where teams are just having a hard time figuring out what they want to do, and the Colts aren't far off with their quarterback situation.
Yeah, and it looks like Tannehill is now starting to enjoy those fruits that Peyton left because he's 20-something and 3 against the AFC South. And it steadily showed. I mean, now it seems like it's the Titans division. I mean, we thought that, and it seemed like the Colts were much believers that Carson Wentz was the answer. Throws a great deep ball, but when it comes to like those layups and stuff, he just would overlook those attempts of trying to get those 6 to 8 yard, you know, pass catch plays that were just given to him by the defenses. He always wanted to go for the deep ball. And we all know he throws a great deep ball. I mean, that's pretty much what he is. But a lot of times it was boom or bust. He'll throw a deep ball and it might be a 50-yard touchdown. And then other times it'd be like, oh, there's the second interception of the game. You know, so it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde when it came to Carson Wentz in terms of his style of play. So I was looking at this and like from the reports, and Tony Dungy said this perfectly. He was asked about this and he says that in order for a team to be successful, the GM and the head coach need to work in sync. They need to be on the same page. And it seems like that's just what didn't happen with the Texans. It seems like Culley and the Texans GM were just never on the same page. It seems like that possibly he would have been the head coach, but then you start to see Brian Flores get fired from Miami. So they're like, oh, maybe there's an opportunity there. I know that Jared Mayo is also another player, a coach that's also in consideration for the head coach. It seems like they're trying to go back to that Patriots way because the GM is from that Patriots page, if you will. And they've seen what's happened with the Titans. They've kind of gone to that same suit, and it's worked out well for them. Yeah. So, and Brian Flores is not a bad head coach. I think what he dealt with, you know, winning the 8 of the last 9, losing their only game against our Nashville Tennessee Titans, if you will, you know, number one in the AFC. Kudos to him. But if you think about like, Coach Culley was just like, what was his expectations? Yeah. You see that he overachieved with just the 4 wins that he had with the lineups that he had. He had, you know, a dumpster fire in terms of a running back committee. Brandon Cooks was probably the only solid, asset you had on that offense that would just never complain. He's like the ultimate pro. Never complain. Didn't go on Twitter or bash out the head coachings or the GM or basically the Houston's culture, if you will, during his time with the Texans. I know that he's a free agent this year, and he's going to say that it's up to them if they want to bring him back or not or what have you. And he's stayed as that all-pro potential that you in terms of just being that pro, you know? So I'm just so really surprised. I wish Coach Culley well. I think that he's in his 60s now. I think that he saw his opportunity to be a head coach, took it. If he even wants to retire, I think he goes out far more respected than when he first came in.
I totally agree with that. First time head coach, who waited all that time to get one, and ultimately the job he took, not many people wanted it. A lot of people turned down that Texan job. They're like, we're going to wait and see what you do with Deshaun Watson, because the question was, how is that situation going to play out? And quite frankly, it hadn't played out yet. And I think the similarities between David Culley and Brian Flores, it's pretty glaring, because the two head coaches had to deal with distractions of Deshaun Watson. One was on the team. Another, the Miami Dolphins wanted to bring him in. So that is just something that the two head coaches had to deal with. And I think, quite frankly, they dealt with it fine, especially Brian Flores, kind of midseason with Tua kind of going up in flames. They ended up bringing Jacoby Brissett in to back him up. That kind of had that little stint going. And all the time, is Deshaun Watson going to get traded at the deadline? But I think once you really found out what that Dolphins team was after the trade deadline. They knew what their quarterback was. They knew what their team was. And after that, I thought the team played for the head coach and company. But for David Culley, John Burton talked about it on our show. He didn't feel too bad for David, just because he got the $5 million this year, and then he's going to get the $17 with the buyout. So
he's right, walking away nicely with some change. Change.
Exactly. Yeah. For a guy in his 60s, that's a nice little retirement package for David Culley if he wants it. But it was a bad job to begin with, but I think you hit the nail on the head. The expectations coming in, I don't think it could be any more than what David Culley delivered.
Yeah, and there was reports that, you know, with Brian Flores down in Miami, it looks like he wasn't a big Tua fan. And there was talks of possibly trading for Watson. I heard there was a trade. There was a trading set between the Dolphins and the Texans. It was like 3 ones and a fifth. That's what John McClain had said, who's a writer for down in Houston. But he says reports are that no matter who becomes a new head coach, if it's Brian Flores, Jeremiah, whoever it may be, that Watson's not going to take another snap for the Texans. I'm not surprised whatsoever, because with this whole legal issues that he's dealing with, they're trying to trade him before free agency starts next year. Who's to see what's going to happen? But I think whoever they bring in, no matter what, Watson is not going to take another snap for the Texans.
And really, when you look at it, the trust has been broken, quite frankly, between the two sides with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. It wasn't really like Houston was going out of their way to kind of defend Deshaun in this whole scandal situation. So the two sides have been pretty far apart the majority of the season. But and really, when you looked at it, you talked about Brian Flores was one of the reasons that Deshaun wanted to go to Miami. So I'm not really sure what Miami's going to do now with no Brian Flores. That was the main attraction for Deshaun Watson. So we'll see what Miami ends up doing. I was at the Titans and Dolphins game. Really got a good look at Tua in that game. Cold weather in the
Dosky, and I've got Patton Cook. I'm pretty sure you've spoken to Patton so many times here. But
yeah.
What's going on, man? We've got some games going on this weekend. Wild card weekend. Oh, sorry, super wild card weekend, which is what this new name is going. You know, that's been atoned for the new structure here in the NFL. Are you looking forward to the snow coming in this weekend?
Right. Well, I'll say first off, I appreciate you boys having me on. Second, yeah, man, like snow-wise, like, I feel like the last month we've had legit every type of weather possible. Like now, I'm legitimately concerned about a hurricane in the Cumberland River. So keep your eyes out on that one. Yeah,
for sure.
No, man, it's going to be an awesome NFL weekend. Like we have some great games lined up, and there could be upsets. I mean, any of these teams can win, and that's what you want. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, this season has been nothing short but than chaos and drama, this regular NFL season, especially going to the very last game of the season, which I myself believed that was going to end in a tie. I really thought it was going to end in a tie. But no, the Raiders decided to kick within, 20, 30 seconds left in overtime to win the game, to move on to the playoffs, to go against the Cincinnati Bengals, which actually kicks off tomorrow. They're the first game tomorrow at 4:30 on NBC. And I kind of want to ask your thoughts. The last time these two teams met, Cincinnati and Raiders, the Raiders don't really give up big plays. They don't. I mean, I think they gave up zero plays of 20 yards or more to the Cincinnati Bengals when they met early in the season. It was more or less, you know, I think Joe Burrow didn't even have a great game. So I think he had over, 20 completions for about 140 yards. It was mostly Joe Mixon running the ball. It was a late turnover that kind of sealed the fate for the Raiders to lose that game against the Bengals. Do you think this is going to be a different outcome this season, or do you think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to win this out convincingly against the Las Vegas Raiders this week?
No, I think it's going to be a pretty good game. And here's the thing, right? Like, you've got the Raiders coming in, and a dangerous thing for the Bengals is this. The Raiders are playing with house money. Right? Like, I mean, they can come and lose. They're not supposed to be here, quote-unquote. And that's a dangerous thing to play against, you know, in the NFL. You know, certainly Cincinnati's offense the last few weeks has looked so much better in terms of consistency in the yards and everything that Burrow's put up. But, you know, you look at the Raiders, man, they keep winning games. They keep winning games. And it's like you can't really point to, you know, one thing that they do great, like, you know, the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, you know what you're going to get. The Titans, Derrick Henry, like, you know what you're going to get. The Raiders are just a solid football team, and you kind of look up and you're like, oh, they're in this game. We could be in trouble here. I'll say one thing that I'm, you know, noticing and looking, you know, for and at is that the Raiders' defensive line is good enough that they could get to the quarterback on their own. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to bring a ton of extra personnel, right? Like, so they can drop people into coverage, you know, and kind of mess with Burrow there. And if they're getting to the quarterback, you know, with three or four guys, buddy, you're in trouble. And the Bengals' offensive line hasn't been great this year. And then, you know, kind of the last part, Joe Burrow's a little bit banged up, too. You know, if they get to that foot, that ankle, a knee, whatever, kind of tweak that thing, that changes this game completely.
Right. I mean, the Bengals have been nothing short but electrifying this offseason. I mean, Joe Burrow, he did have a little slump game going against the Raiders, but since then he's thrown over 1,000 yards in the last two games. Yes, I know they lost to the Cleveland Browns, but, like, they have totally shocked a lot of NFL fans, especially that division in the AFC North. I mean, no one has picked him to win outright, to win that division. It was supposed to be the Browns, who, after showing a strong showing last year in the AFC going towards the playoffs, losing in that last fourth quarter against the Kansas City Chiefs last week. This was supposed to be the Browns division to lose, and it looks like they did do that. So, but yeah, it's just been really interesting to see how the outcome is. My only concern is for the Bengals is Darren Waller will be back. And the Bengals have not been great in terms of defending the tight ends. We saw what George Kittle did. It seems like whoever they have defending a tight end on that Bengals side, they're not confident to cover them completely. And I wouldn't be surprised if Darren Waller has 15 plus targets in this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're right. Like, you know, Derek Carr loves Darren Waller, right? Yeah. Like, he's such an important part of that offense, and he changes the dynamic of it. You know, you bring up a good point. You know, comparing these two teams, like, they could do multiple on offense, and it could throw a defense for a wrench if you're not ready for it and they're hitting, right? And what I mean by it is this, is that if Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are hooking up, right, and Mixon's running the football, good luck. Like, that, I mean, that's just a ton to deal with. But the same thing for the Raiders, right? Like, if Waller, you know, is putting up his catches and yards, Renfro's doing the same, and Josh Jacobs is running the ball, buddy, that's a lot to deal with, man. Like, you've got to be a really good defense. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, this is going to be a really fun game. I'm glad that it's kind of the kickoff game because it could go any direction in terms of who wins the game. It could go any direction in terms of betting the spread. It could go any direction in terms of the total. Like, I see people that are super confident in this game going over 49, and I see people who are super confident in this game going under 49, right? So I'm fascinated. It's going to be a really fun game to start the weekend, though.
For sure. Say hi. Patton, say hello to Alan Bailey.
Alan, good to see you here, and good to talk with you. A lot of talk is going to be about the quarterbacks. I wanted to talk about those running backs. Josh Jacobs, you mentioned coming back, and then Joe Mixon having a 1,000-yard rushing season. Two guys that don't really have much playoff experience. How do you see them kind of matching up in really a postseason that really running the footballs is key?
Yeah, you're right there. So, you know, I think with Mixon, you know, he's good enough to go on his own, right? Like, but he's even better when the Bengals use the pass to open up the run. You could get in trouble very, very quickly with them. You know, with the Raiders, they're not afraid to use Josh Jacobs similarly to how the Titans do with Derrick Henry. And what I mean by it is that they're not afraid to line up first drive of the game and go super aggressive on the ground, right? Let's see if you can stop Jacobs. And if, you know, you have a little bit of success, they're going to go back, you know, they're going to go to the pass, they're going to go to the tight end. But also with Jacobs, you've got to be careful for his receptions. And I think if anybody's out there prop betting this weekend, take a look at that, because the number, I think, is only like 3.5. And in any game script, right, whether the Raiders are up, down, close game, whatever, I could see Carr using Jacobs in the short passing game as a run game option. So pay attention to that for sure.
Final question on this game for me, Alan. Believe it or not, Derek Carr, I believe this is his first playoff game in his career. Had the injury kind of a couple years ago that didn't let him play in this game. How do you view Derek in the league kind of as a quarterback? Is he top 10, top 15 for you? And can he kind of go head-to-head with Joe Burrow in the game on Saturday?
Yeah, so, look, I like Derek Carr. There are certainly issues there in terms of accuracy, you know, that comes up every now and again. But, you know, you look at his numbers, look at his stats, he's done pretty good so far. And he's done it with kind of a sieve of an offensive line. Right? Like, you've seen all of the dumb penalties they get in the red zone and, you know, pressure issues that they have. Like, I like Derek Carr more than most. You know, in regards to Joe Burrow, I mean, when Burrow's on, good luck. Burrow's, he's a top eight quarterback in the league because he can sling it, right? Like, he can just go. So, you know, if Burrow's on his game, I don't think Derek is with him. But if we get just, you know, a good, solid NFL playoff game, yeah, these are two pretty similar quarterbacks. And you know, take a look at Vegas' numbers to what they have for them in terms of over-under on passing yards. It's like 262 and 259.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited about that. I think that's a great game to kick off Super Wild Card Weekend. I'm right there with you, Alan. Let's move over to the game later that night. Well, actually, you know what? Before we talk about the Bills and the Patriots, let's talk about let's talk about the 49ers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw what happened with Antonio Brown. We saw that he decided that he wanted to go and strip on the Jets field and run amok, whatever, even though he was dealing with an ankle injury. It was a little like I didn't see the ankle injury when he was doing those jumping jacks and stuff when he was on the field himself. Talk to me about this whole Antonio Brown. Like, do you feel that they'll be able to make up for that missing piece of it? Because you have no Chris Godwin for that Tom Brady offense. We all know that Fournette's coming back. We know that Mike Evans has been hurt, but he looks like he came back and looks better after his last season game, the end of last season game that they had. But do you feel that they will miss Antonio Brown's production going into the postseason?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Like, I agree. And look, I'm not an Antonio Brown fan, mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, his talent is undeniable, right? Like, there's a reason why Brady and Arians up their necks up so much for him is because he can help. He opens that thing up, especially when, you know, when you talk about losing Chris Godwin. You know, you just got to run out of guys. You know, we saw, you know, Alabama the national championship game, you know, after losing Mechie a couple weeks previous and then lose Jameson Williams. Like, buddy, like, you just got to run out of guys. You know what I mean? And Tampa's kind of there now. It's going to help getting Fournette back, and not only Fournette on the ground, but he's another running back. Take a look, you know, at Brady using him in the short passing game as well. But yeah, man, like, it hurts. It hurts not having Antonio Brown, and especially if you're looking at a game to where we could see some torrential rain. Yeah, like, that could affect Tampa and help Philadelphia for sure. Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts, the leading rusher for Philly, Allen. Kind of how big of a key will he be in this game? Because you just have a feeling Brady's going to score his. Is it kind of how much pressure is put on Hurts here to kind of keep the pace offensively for Philly?
Well, I'll say this. You know, Hurts has felt the pressure all season because this is a team that doesn't start very fast. Now, they have great second halves, but you look at the first quarter, first half, you know, they kind of go through all of their issues and problems and then kind of work it out at halftime, right? So, you know, they're definitely going to have to put some points on the board, and their defense is going to have to help them out because you can't spot Tom Brady a bunch of points in the beginning of the game and then try to come back. Like, it's just too difficult to do. But then again, man, like, the Bucs haven't looked great. Like, I know you look at that, you know, that score last week between the Bucs and the Panthers, and it was a blowout on the scoreboard. Now, those were late garbage points. Like, the last 2 weeks, the Bucs haven't looked great. Their defense hasn't looked great either. So I think if Philly can get out there and put some points on the board early and keep this thing competitive, buddy, the pressure's all on Tampa Bay. It's not on Philadelphia.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Alan. I really see you. I mean, I think Jalen Hurts will be – I think he'll be very effective going against the Buccaneers. We all know the Bucs are really hard to run against. So, but I know they're going to devise some plays to make Hurts – hurt him in certain different ways, would be quarterback sneaks or, you know, runs, whatever device to help to kind of stretch plays out, possibly even extending drives, what have you. But yeah, the rain, I think, is going to be a big deal. And I think that's the addition of Fournette, who looks like he's healthy. He'll be back. I think that's a big boost for this Buccaneers team, and it might, you know, set them off and hopefully advance off into the playoffs. But I don't see the Buccaneers losing this game against the Eagles. But let's talk about the Saturday night game. The Bills and Patriots are going to run it back for a third time. We all saw the first game when it was 150-mile winds and there was nothing going on. I mean, they couldn't move the ball. It was all a run game. It was Stevenson and Harris. It was that show. And then you have the Buffalo Bills, who looked like they ran into a little rut during midseason, but it seemed like they kind of, like, short of the course, they kind of rebounded a little bit, as opposed to the Patriots kind of fell up towards the end of the season, losing their last game against the Dolphins. How do you see this game matching out? Like, we all know about the whole, you know, Josh Allen, and he doesn't get circulation in his toes, and Bart Scott telling him to get some Viagra to help him out and hope he hears about this. Like, do you think that, you know, that Josh Allen's going to show up against Mac Jones, who's not looked that confident in the last couple of weeks?
So if you're Buffalo and you're Josh Allen, like, your plan has to be, let me use an example. If you're out in your yard in the summer and you see a snake, you peel the snake, right? Like, you handle that business right there. That's kind of how the Bills need to go about it, right?
Sure.
Like, you just cut their head off and get it over with, right? Because the longer that the Patriots stay in this game, the pressure is immensely all on Buffalo. So I think that you're going to see the Bills team and Josh Allen, they come out super aggressive in the first quarter, in the first half, because they know if they're putting points on the board, and especially converting touchdowns, okay, New England's not built to play that game. Like, I like Mac Jones. I like the Patriots team. I like everything about it. But they are not built offensively for a shootout. It's just not going to do it. And the Bills have a really good defense too, right? So I think that you're going to see a Bills team that is super aggressive coming right out of the gate, because points are their best friend in this game.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not converting touchdowns and they're attempting field goals and Josh Allen's throwing a pick or a fumble, you know, in the first half, look out, man, like, because they can get scary in a hurry. But if they're converting touchdowns, New England's just not built to play that game.
A bit of an odd question, Alan, but do you think Bill Belichick is confident in Mac Jones heading into this game? I we know that first
question,
game that ended up happening where didn't really put the ball in his hands much. Do you think that will change any in this game if the kind of game plan allows it?
Not really. Let me say this. I think Bill really likes Mac Jones. Right? And I don't put it all on Mac Jones. I put it on the offense and what Josh McDaniels has really kind of built around. This team is defensively built. They are built to play 23-20 style games, right? And they haven't, you know, really put it in Mac's hands to go throw 35, 40 times a game consistently week after week after week. He'll get there probably next year, but they're just not built to do it now. If it's late in the game, third, fourth quarter, you know, there's no tomorrow. Like, you're just going to have to put the ball in the air and see what happens. But no, man, like, that's why, like, I think that, you know, the genius that is Bill Belichick in terms of defense, and with Jerod Mayo out there as well, they are going to throw all kinds of crazy looks at Josh Allen in the first half, because they know that they have to limit points. And if they do that, they've got a good shot at winning that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, Josh Allen, I think that we've seen the whole Cam Newton stuff, right? I mean, no one wants to deal with a guy. I mean, I really think this is going to be more or less a fourth quarter game. I think that a lot of these things, and I hope that that's where Josh Allen is able to, you're going to a game, you're at home, 2 degrees. I mean, it's going to be frigid cold. You want to run with that quarterback, because you talk to these players, they don't want to tackle anybody when it's that cold. They just say it hurts, you know? So, yeah. But let's talk about the 49ers and the Cowboys here. The 49ers, physical team, got in, got hot towards the end of the season. I think their only loss was against the Titans, I believe, here. It was right the day before Christmas Eve. And you look at Deebo Samuel and the matchups he presents and the mismatches he presents going against Micah Parsons, who's arguably possibly the defensive player of the year if T.J. Watt doesn't get the ties to sack record, defensive player, rookie of the year. Talk to me about if you see both aspects, talk to me about that Dan Quinn, Kyle Shanahan matchup. These two coaches know each other very well during their time in Atlanta, went to the Super Bowl. How do you see this game playing out between these two?
Well, I'll tell you this. I actually think it's the opposite. I think it's the Cowboys' offense versus the 49ers' defense. Mm-hmm. Because if the Cowboys' offense is rolling, like we saw, you know, Dak Prescott against the Washington football team, against the Eagles, if they're putting up 35, 38, 40 points, not the type of game that San Francisco wants to play. They like to play aggressive. They like to control the clock, run the football, and they're the best red zone converting touchdown team in the NFL. Right? Like, they want to control that game. But if the 49ers defense is getting to Dak Prescott and leaving them in 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-10, Bobby, Dallas could be in trouble in a hurry, because it's tough to play against San Francisco. It's tough to play against aggressive styles. Now, flipping it to what you were saying in terms of the 49ers offense against the Cowboys defense, yeah, man, like, you know, they've got issues, you know, at the quarterback position, obviously. You know, we've seen kind of, is Garoppolo the guy? Is he not the guy? Is Trey Lance the guy? You know, Garoppolo's played pretty well, and he usually does when it's a very consistent style of offense. But, you know, as the Titans showed, like, you could get to him, and he could create turnovers, you know, against his own team very, very quickly. And like you said, Micah Parsons, you know, with everything that he's done this year, it's just amazing. The Cowboys' defensive line, they can get to you, too. This is going to be an old-school game, man. It's going to be phenomenal. I can't wait to see it. But, again, I think that it all comes down to Dallas's offense. I think that that will tell you immediately what this game is going to be, because we've seen Jekyll and Hyde with this Cowboys offense. But if we're getting the good Dallas offense and they're converting touchdowns, and it's not, San Francisco doesn't want to shoot out. They're not built to do it. They are built to control the game, control the time. So, yeah, I think that's where your key is right there.
Right. You made a point about how they played it. And we all know Dak's record against the NFC East. It's like, yep. What are they, 30-0? Like, I mean, he's beaten pretty much everybody. I think he's only like one loss. We saw that he put up more numbers against Washington on that, what was it, that primetime game. And then he did the same thing the Eagles a week after. But then when he played against Arizona, who's also in the playoffs, did not look like the Dak of old. Who's under more pressure? Because you've got Dak, comeback player of the year, arguably, probably with Joe Burrow and maybe Nick Bosa could be part of that whole, you know, discussion, if you will. Who's under more pressure? Because Dak's just signed that new contract. Is it him or is it Mike McCarthy?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'd say Mike McCarthy, right? Like, you know, McCarthy, he's 2 years in. You know, there's a lot more, you know, fan love towards Dak than there is Mike. And not that they hate McCarthy, but, right. You know, Dak's just a little more ingrained there. But, you know, again, like, that's the tough part of playing for Dallas, is that you are front and center when you're the head coach, when you're the quarterback. Like, that is a global front and center jobs, right? And if you're not playing well, and especially with the history, you know, of Dallas in the playoffs, like, their fans are hungry, man. It's kind of like Georgia. You know, they finally get through, you know, and win the national championship. That's the first one since 1980. Like, the Cowboys are kind of in that mold here, you know, where fans are just restless here. But, yeah, I would say McCarthy, just because you're the head coach. And you know what? Dak makes more than you. It's easier to get rid of you than it is Dak Prescott.
Alan Bell with us from a CBS Sports Line. Let's go ahead and jump over to the Sunday night game. I beg your pardon, Steelers and Chiefs. And Alan, if you look at Vegas, they're kind of buying into the Big Ben retirement ceremony at Arrowhead. Do you see this one being as kind of straightforward as many do? Kansas City a 12.5-point favorite, or do you see Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin making this one a little difficult?
Well, you know, you've got historically, you know, you look at, you know, Mike Tomlin, you know, as an underdog, like, his numbers are phenomenal. But, you know, what I worry about is that this is the third week in a row we've kind of done this Ben Roethlisberger last game thing. You know, like, there's only so much blood in the heart to pump, right? You know, like, I mean, you can only do it for so long. And you look, you know, against the Kansas City Chiefs team to where, yeah, Vegas is going to, you know, they're going to bake in on that number. And what I mean by it is that the number's probably around 10.5. But Vegas can add 2 points to it because they're a public favorite, and that they know the public's still going to bet it, right? So, you know, they can play those games with you here. Look, what I worry about is that, you know, whenever we talk Kansas City Chiefs, you know, it's always about Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey. It's their defense that's been the problem for other teams. You're just not scoring points. And, you know, a Pittsburgh Steelers offense that is built to, you know, pass 5 yards and in, like, that's a difficult assignment there. So, yeah, like, I'm not giving Pittsburgh much of a shot here at all. Like, they're not going to win the game. And I'm just talking about in terms of covering that number. It's a big one for the playoffs, but I have concerns there. I think Kansas City wins and covers.
Yeah, it sounds like the same concerns that you have that Ben has, where he doesn't seem too confident going into this game. He's just like, hey, we're just here. He's a lot like the Raiders, right? They're playing with house money, right? I mean, they had, what, a 10%?
They are. You're right. Like, they are. They're definitely playing with house money, you know, but the Raiders got to put the ball down the field. Like, with the Steelers, man, like, if Najee Harris isn't going off, good luck, man.
So let's move over to Monday night. I guess it's the first wild card Monday night game we're going to have. Genius move by the NFL. They know there's no more college football. We could take over that Monday night slot. We already got a day to ourselves. Let's take another half day from us. And let's go ahead and take the wild card game. And what's possibly going to be a banger of a game. We're going to, just like the Bills and Patriots, the Rams and the Cardinals, they're going to run it back for a third straight time. And we all know that we've seen Matthew Stafford 0-3 in the playoffs. Kyler Murray, it's his first playoff game. How do you see this matchup? Do you think that we'll see the 0-3 Matthew Stafford? Or are we going to see the Matthew Stafford more or less the beginning of the season as opposed to the last couple of games where he's made mistakes and stuff like that? Are we going to see that Matthew Stafford going into Monday night?
That's a great question, right? And, you know, it's interesting that the two division games that we had this weekend, the Patriots and the Bills, and then the Cardinals and the Rams, both feature a quarterback that's never, you know, played in the playoffs before, you know, both with Mac Jones and Kyler Murray. And if you look against the spread, quarterbacks that are making their first start in a playoff game against a quarterback that's been in the playoffs before, they're like 14-32 against the spread. Awful, awful historical numbers. That being said, the Rams haven't been the Rams all year. Like, we saw that first week one game against the Bears, and their defense was flying around, making picks, you know, and just playing great. And then we really just haven't seen, you know, them put it all together, right? Like, I don't have a ton of confidence in Los Angeles, but that, again, that being said, man, like, I don't have a ton in Arizona either. They've got injuries at the wide receiver position. They haven't been the same offense since DeAndre Hopkins went out. Kyler clearly, you know, is a problem with his legs, and he's a good quarterback, and they're better on the road than they are at home. But all of that combined, give me the Rams here. I think that they know how important that this game is. They're going to put some points on the board. They can run the football, and they can certainly play defense too. So I'll grit my teeth and take the Rams, but I don't feel great about it. Like, this is going to be a tight game for sure.
It looks like J.J. Watt has got a pretty good shot at coming back for the game on Monday night. Alan, do you see him making an impact? It hasn't played in months, but in a defense that we saw what it had here in Nashville in week one and what it did against Ryan Tannehill. Do you see J.J. Watt making an impact on Monday night?
You know, he can, because he doesn't have to do everything, right? So, you know, if he can just, you know, get a couple pressures, make a good, you know, run tackle, right? Like, that's good. Like, he doesn't have to be, you know, Superman out there. They've got other good defensive players with them. So, you know, yeah, like, he could certainly make a difference, you know, out there. But again, it's tough to bank on somebody that's been injured that long and has been in the game that long as J.J. Watt. He's had injuries year after year after year. Like, I'm not counting on a ton, but the three or four plays that he makes could be three or four massive plays in the game on third down, et cetera. So, yeah, man, like, he could certainly do something.
Yeah, for Cooper Kupp, Alan, I tell you what, probably the most dominant player wide receiver-wise in the NFL, and even I think if DeAndre Hopkins was coming in healthy in this game, I think there's a real argument Cooper Kupp has been more dominant than Hopkins would if he's played all these games. What a development it has been for Cooper, Alan. Did you see this kind of development early in his career in the NFL from almost getting 2,000 receiving yards?
Heck no, man. I wish I could say I did. I mean, you know, he's clearly, you know, put up numbers every year in his career, but what he's doing this year and last year, I mean, they're just ungodly numbers. You know, from a betting perspective, you know, you look at, you know, each game, it's, you know, his receiving yards over or under. They look like Derrick Henry's, like, rushing, you know, like 110. You know what I mean? And you're like, good God, like, nobody in the NFL is anywhere close to this. And he hits them. You know what I mean? And it's like, he'll hit them, and then we'll still talk about the Rams. Like, God, Matthew Stafford had two interceptions, two pick sixes. You know, I can't believe they won. And you look, you're like, Cooper Kupp, seven receptions for 130 yards. It's just insane, man.
It just gets overlooked.
That's just incredible.
Hey, before I let you go, give me your Super Bowl picks, buddy.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go with you off here, man. I think it's going to be Packers. I think it's going to be Titans.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah, I think those are the two best on both sides because they are – one, you've got the best quarterback in the NFL in Aaron Rodgers. And the Titans, nobody talks about their defense. Their defense is terrific. Last right. five games, only give it up 11.8 points per game in those. So I think you've got two very, very balanced teams. They're going to be difficult to beat at home. So, yeah, I'll eat the talent. Give me the Packers and Titans here.
Fantastic. Well, that's Alan Bell from CBS Sportsline. Buddy, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's short notice, but I really appreciate you making the time to join Pat and myself to talk some Super Bowl wild card games. You're welcome anytime back on the podcast. So if we could do it sometime next week, we can go towards, you know, the next round of the playoffs. Till then, buddy, thank you so much, man.
Hey, I appreciate you guys, man. Thank you so much for having me on. And, yeah, I'm honored, man. Anytime you'll have me on, yeah, I'm in.
Thanks, Alan. I'll talk to you on the Greg Pogue, John Burton show sometime, hopefully.
For sure.
Sounds good, buddy. Y'all be good, man. Thank you.
All right, Alan. That's Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Man, he's got him. The guy knows how to pick him, man.
I tell you what, Greg, he set us up with Alan Bell, and I've had the pleasure to really hear him on Greg and John's show and really can ask him whatever you want now on the betting perspective or just analytical or anything like that. So it has been a real pleasure to kind of talk with Alan and really some good tidbits in there. And one of the main ones that I like the point that he made, he's not really so much caring about the 49ers offense. He's looking at that defense and the Cowboys offense and Ezekiel Elliott kind of this season, kind of in and out of the lineup, just eclipsed 1,000 yards, said Ezekiel. So I tell you what, the games we have coming up this upcoming weekend, you folks at home, don't leave your couch. If you do, you're going to miss an all-time classic more than likely, but what a weekend ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be crazy about how with all the snow and all that stuff, there's no better weather for you to stay indoors and watch the games that we're about to have. I can't wait for it. I mean, Alan hit on a lot of stuff. I'm really intrigued about the whole 49ers because a lot of people have been backing the 49ers going against the Cowboys. We do know the Cowboys are 3-0 in playoffs, wild card at home. But when you're looking at that matchup, I just feel like, you know, that Kyle Shanahan versus that Dan Quinn, that's going to be such a great chess match. And then, of course, Monday night, Sean McVay, I think he's under as much pressure as probably Mike McCarthy is in terms of advancing. I mean, we all know that he went to the Super Bowl just some years ago, but still, you trade all those picks, which I am actually a fan of, by them trading all those picks to make that team better, because if they hadn't, I don't think that the Rams will be where they are now. I think that Matthew Stafford was an upgrade over Jared Goff, and he's really shown some great stuff, and I'm really excited to see how he is. But I want to introduce our next guest, and we're going to talk a little bit more about several division games that might have some impacts against the Tennessee Titans. We're going to talk to Mike Petraglia, who's also with CLNS Media, as well as part of the Pro Football Writers Association. We're going to talk a little bit about how, you know, the Browns versus, I mean, not the Browns, God, the Bengals, God, we're not, the Browns are not even in the playoffs. The Bengals versus the Raiders, and because he covers the Bengals, he also does a little coverage on the Patriots, because chances are that we might see either the Bengals or the Patriots, who knows, in the future, or maybe the Bengals, we don't know. So we're going to bring Mike on the phone, on the show with us. Mike, how are you, buddy?
Freudian slip there with the Browns, huh?
I know, yeah. Yeah, it's just crazy because, you know, I was, you know what's, and I'm at fault of this, I will own it. When we had our early predictions at the beginning of the season during training camp, I did pick the Browns to win the division. I thought Baltimore was going to regress. I thought that Big Ben was on his last leg. And because when you look at the division, you look at, you know, the Browns were the new coming, like they're going to own the AFC North. And you look at the Steelers, you know, Big Ben, don't know what they're going to do with quarterback. They still have some players there. Then you look at the Ravens. The Ravens are going to regress. And then the Bengals. The Bengals are going to be that new fun team to watch. And they have been just that all season long.
And full disclosure, I had the Browns winning the division as well.
So I'm in good company then. I'm in good company then.
Yeah, I really thought the Browns were up and coming. And I thought Baker Mayfield was the answer. And whether it's injury or not, I mean, Joe Burrow, to me, is the class quarterback in the division this year. We'll have to see how Burrow compares to a healthy Lamar Jackson going forward. That is going to be a fascinating storyline, I think, for years to come in the AFC North, which quarterback, you know, may be able to get to his team to the Super Bowl first, I think would be fascinating. But I think the Baltimore-Cincinnati rivalry could be a great one to watch. We'll see what happens with Cleveland. And I think Pittsburgh, you know, I know they're in the playoffs now, but they are on the brink of a full rebuild and retool.
Hey, Mike, this is Patton Cook. We appreciate you coming on with us. a lot of the talk you hear in the kind of national media is the Bengals are a year ahead of schedule. Is that kind of the talk down in Cincinnati and kind of with things right now in the playoffs and maybe what was not expected?
I would say they are kind of oblivious to what's being said on the outside about this being a year too early, both fans and players. I think that the team believes, and I think the fan base believes, hey, if this is a year and the Bengals play to their talent level on what has been a terrifically rebuilt roster, then they can win the whole thing. I don't think there's any doubt in their mind. This is a team that probably should have beaten Green Bay in overtime if it weren't for rookie Evan McPherson's kick down the middle getting blown by a gust of wind in overtime. This is a team that did come from 14 points down three different times and beat Kansas City. And this is a team that has been able to put up a lot of points on a lot of teams. And, you know, it has a terrific interior run defense. I think it can get after the quarterback. And it certainly has the playmakers on the outside. My concern with the Bengals is the interior offensive line. Really is. Right. Can they, and I'm sure other teams have scouted the Bengals, see the same thing we all do on film. The Bengals can look shaky at times over the ball. Can they shore that up in time for the playoffs, which begin on Saturday, which begin tomorrow? I think they're much better in the offensive line over the last 6 weeks or so, but it's going to be interesting to see how they do once the bullets start flying for real.
In their first meeting during the season, Joe Burrow did not look like the Joe Burrow when they first met. I mean, he had, 20 completions for a little over 140 yards. It looked like it was more or less Joe Mixon. We know that game was tight leading up into the third, fourth quarter when they went up by a touchdown. I think they had a long drive of 12 possessions for about 60 yards. And then the very next possession was an early turnover, and Mixon runs it in. And then before you know it, it looked like it was a blowout. But it looked like it was a lot closer than what many people were thinking, because when you hear, like, the analysts and people out there, they're saying, oh, Burrow's going to throw for 400 yards. Well, guess what? The Raiders have gave up zero plays of 20 yards or more. And we all know that Joe Burrow, you know, he's a risk taker. We've seen that all year. I don't think Boyd, Higgins, or Ja'Marr Chase, who's been a stellar. I mean, he's been – I'm such a huge Ja'Marr Chase fan. I don't think any of them eclipsed 100 yards during that game against the Raiders. So how do you see this playing out tomorrow?
It's a great question. To me, that's a $64,000 question. Will Joe Burrow do what he did in the first game and take what the defense gives you and gives him and throw underneath and get the running game started, or will he look to punch it downfield and, you know, say, screw it, I don't care what your coverage is, we're going to do what we do. I think the former rather than the latter is the way they're going to go. And I think the offensive line needs to establish its physical presence immediately in this game for the Bengals to have a chance to win it. And I think they want to play the game, as every team does, on their own terms. And I think it means running the ball, setting up the play action. Look, a lot of teams in this day and age in the NFL use the pass to set up the run. I think the Bengals in this game want to use the run to set up the pass and get Joe Burrow a little bit more comfortable to kind of cool off the heels of Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue and the Raiders front line, which their defensive front is as good as any in the NFL. And, you know, sure, in this day and age, every team has some good pass rushers, but the Raiders really live and die on it. And I think the Bengals are going to have to neutralize that, and that starts with a good running game.
Michael, I wanted to ask you about the Bengals head coach, Zach Taylor, in year three currently. In the first couple of years, it was not something very pretty to watch. And specifically last year, after last season, a lot of talk whether or not they would bring Zach back. Kind of how pleased are you for him, and what does it say about the organization? You stick with your guy one more year, and you're reaping the benefits in year number three.
Well, last week I wrote a column, and you can see it on my Twitter feed, at Trags, it's pinned, culture creator in leading the Bengals to the AFC North title. Zach Taylor deserves to be NFL Coach of the Year. That's how I feel about Zach Taylor and the job he's done this season. He's created a great culture. The players love him, and he's not just a player's coach, but I think he has the respect of the players. And he's kind of, you know, empowered the players to go out and do what they do and they've really embraced the that empowerment, and they've really embraced the opportunity to go out and make big plays offensively, defensively. You know, I think it was CJ Uzama said this week that essentially we love playing for Zach Taylor because he loves coaching us. And it's kind of been that attitude all year long. I think Zach Taylor has traveled the longest distance in a period of 2 years to get to the top of the AFC North. When you take a look at the other coaches in the Coach of the Year race, you talk about obviously Mike Vrabel with Tennessee down there with the Titans, what he's done this year with so many injuries befalling his offense. You take a look at what Matt LaFleur has done with the Aaron Rodgers drama ever since the start of training camp and even before that. And you take a look at Cliff Kingsbury out in Arizona. Well, I think Zach Taylor, of all of those coaches, and Bill Belichick with the Patriots kind of turning it around there, but I don't think any coach has come as far in such short a time as Zach Taylor, and I think he deserves full marks for that.
Yeah, we've got Mike Petrilia from CLNS Media on with us to talk Raiders matchup, wild card game coming up on Saturday. Now, Mike, I was reading your article. You had a great article that was out there talking about how Bengals will end their playoff drought over the weary Raiders. It's on, if you want to check it out, try it out at clnsmedia.com. Great article, a lot of stuff. You talked about Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs was a non-factor. Yeah. He had, I think, about less what, under 40 yards in their first matchup. Here's my question to you. What do you think they're going to try to do in terms of stopping Darren Waller? When you look at the Bengals of what they've gone against tight ends, George Kittle, it seems like for whatever reason, the Bengals don't have a corner that can really match up well, or they're not confident enough to match up a corner to go against opposing tight ends going against that Bengals defense.
That changed midway through the season when they acquired Trey Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And Trey Flowers is 6'3". He's got great quick hips. He has been assigned guys like George Kittle and like Mark Andrews of Baltimore the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
That's really given them an advantage that they really didn't have early in the year. And I think it's been very fortunate for the Bengals to acquire a guy like that, because they're not asking somebody like Jesse Bates or Von Bell to cover the tight end. They've got a specialist in there designed specifically to cover the tight end, especially on third down. And that's what Trey Flowers gives them. I think they're going to be able to do what they did in the first game, and that is contain him in the first half. Mm-hmm. Just don't allow explosive plays. Against Travis Kelce, that was their best game of the year. I couldn't believe the fact that Travis Kelce ended that game with under 50 yards receiving, and the fact that Tyreek Hill was kept in control, you know, kept certainly contained in that game. When you take a look at what the Bengals did to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, that's kind of the game plan for any explosive offense going forward, including one with a dynamic tight end like the Raiders have.
Mike, I wanted to ask you about one of the games on Saturday, not Bengals and Raiders, but Patriots and Bills. First, I wanted to ask, are you going to make the trip out to Buffalo and kind of weather the balmy weather that they got going down this weekend?
No, I will be writing post-game for Bengals. I wish I could, but I'll be writing post-game Bengals-Raiders in the warm, comfortable press box confined to the Paul Brown Stadium press box, sneaking a peek at that game as it's going on while I'm writing. I'm sure that's exactly what's going to be happening.
Oh, yeah, that sounds a little bit better than the weather they've got going on. Right now, when you look at it, Bill Belichick and Mac Jones heading into this game, what do you see the game plan being for New England in this one? Do you see it kind of how it went last time in Buffalo, or just a lot of running with Damian Harris and company, or do you see them kind of changing formation any?
They'll give the Bills a couple of different looks, but I don't expect them to do anything different than go to their strength, which is running, and then the occasional play-action pass. What we did not see, because of the wind, not because of the cold, but because of the incredible fierce winds in that Monday night game that the Patriots wound up winning, you didn't see them throwing the ball. They'll throw it probably, I'd say, 10 to 12 times on Saturday night. You know, I'm sure it won't be ideal. Then maybe they even throw it more than that. But if they're running the ball as effectively as they did in that Monday night game against Buffalo. Why not go back to that? Until the Bills can show that they can stop the Patriots' run blocking, I think you're going to see a lot more of running the ball. What I'm curious to see is if Josh Allen throws the ball more accurately than he did in that game, because he did not have a good game at all. He looked uncomfortable. And you know Belichick in the playoffs is going to throw something different at Josh Allen. He just is. And, you know, if I were Josh Allen, I'd go back and take a quick, maybe he's already done this, a quick 15 to 30-minute glimpse at what Belichick has thrown at first-time quarterbacks facing Belichick and the Patriots in the playoffs. Go back, you know, to 2015 when Jacksonville, or 2017 when Jacksonville faced Patriots in the playoffs. Go back even further than that when younger quarterbacks went up against Bill Belichick in the playoffs. What did he do? I think that would give the Bills and Josh Allen a good leg up on what should be a fascinating chess match.
Yeah, and I agree completely. Now, we've seen in the past that Bill Belichick does struggle against mobile quarterbacks. And my question to you is, do you think this will be more or less like a fourth quarter game going towards the duration? Because I'm not buying. We all heard about Josh Allen, how he talks about he doesn't get circulation in his toes and he does need this. And Bart Scott, we all talked about, needs Viagra. He needs, I hope he's hearing all this stuff, whatever. I don't think the answer. We all know that Josh Allen was built to play in cold elements. I mean, he played in college. He played in the pros. He's got the arm to fight those elements. Because if you have Josh Allen, he's got the arm strength to get it to a Diggs, who will probably be on a single high safety on the right hand side. He can get it to him on a deep route. I think those opportunities will present himself. Do you see that it's going to be more or less? Do you see that Josh Allen and Buffalo will be more conservative, try to run the ball as much as they can? Because we all know the Patriots are stout when it comes to running that run defense when they go against opposing offenses.
Yeah, but I think the one thing you have to be cautious of if you're the Bills is not throwing into the teeth of the defense. And I still think with J.C. Jackson back there for the Patriots, their secondary is just so deep and fundamentally sound. Jonathan Jones and obviously Devin McCourty is still the veteran quarterback, the safety back there. The Patriots just have a lot of depth and experience in the secondary, and they can confuse with different looks and shadowing and clouding with different coverages. I think they are still capable of confusing Josh Allen and making him see ghosts, as we like to say. And Josh Allen has to be careful of that. I think, you know, again, the Bills are going to have to run the ball better than they did in that Monday night game. I think they had just under 100 or right at 100 yards of rushing. They've got to do a better job in that game, in this game coming up tomorrow night in Buffalo, of running the ball.
Absolutely. Before, Mike, I let you go, who do you got as your Super Bowl picks?
That's a tough one right now. I'm going to go with the hot hand of Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I think the Bengals are actually going to find a way. I think this is a very short, quick window for the, because I think they may have to rearrange some things in the offseason with their defense. But I like the Bengals, and I like Green Bay. I think it'll be a rematch of what we saw in October 11th at Paul Brown Stadium. I've kind of had that sneaking suspicion when those two teams met back then. Don't ask me why, but I have an even stronger sense of that now. But we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you get those two teams in the Super Bowl, that'd be a fun team to watch. Both electrifying offenses. Oh, that'd be a high scoring game. I mean, that'd be fun to watch. Well, once again, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. I know it was short notice to get you on the show. I know that because the whole elements were, I don't know if you guys are getting snow up there, but we're expecting snow sometime soon. So we're like, all right, we should get this podcast before Super Wild Card Weekend kicks off. But I do appreciate your time joining us and kind of giving us a rundown on this Bengals versus Raiders matchup. We appreciate it. We can't wait. I'm really excited. I'm super stoked. I think I can speak for Patton as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Excited for it. Thank you for coming on, Mike.
You got it. It should be a fun weekend of wild card football, super wild card weekend football in the NFL. I'm looking forward to covering it.
All right, Mike. Once again, thank you so much, and you're welcome back anytime.
You got it. Take care, guys.
All right, bye-bye. That's Mike Petrillo with CLNS Media. He also is part of the Pro Football Writers Association. Good stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
Some good stuff. I mean, it's just crazy, like, how, you know, that you look at these matchups and stuff, and I don't know why I kept thinking Browns. I'm like, that's not what I'm trying to go with. I know they were talking about Allen and the Browns, and then we talk about the divisions and rankings and stuff like that. But like, the Bengals scare me. I mean, out of all the teams that we could possibly match up as a Titans, you know, as we cover the Titans here, that's one I'm really concerned about the most.
Well, they have a quarterback that can beat you by himself in Joe Burrow. We've seen it in the month of December and in January, where, quite frankly, there's not been many better quarterbacks than Joe Burrow, and it's been fun to watch him. And at this point, Ray, I don't think it's too far away before we get the super duper wild card weekend. The NFL just keeps adding on teams to the playoffs, but I'm excited for it. I'm ready for it this upcoming weekend. It all starts on Sunday to Monday, and you really can't get over it.
Yeah, because when I was looking at the Bengals matchup, I saw the game they had against the Raiders when they met during the regular season. It wasn't a great outlook. It was not a good outshowing from Joe Burrow. And we all know, like I said, Joe Burrow's a risk taker. But the Raiders are 4-0.
Yeah.
4-0. Just like how Alan said, they're playing on house money, much like the Steelers. Like, no one expected them. You've got a first-time interim coach going into the playoffs. I mean, what they've done there with the head coaching and with Derek Carr has been admirable, with dealing with all the stuff they dealt with, all the off-field issues, with John Gruden being fired. I mean, they've had probably one of the most chaotic seasons you can ask probably NFL teams ever have to dealt with.
No doubt. And that really just goes to show there's some tough candidates to pick from, but I think it's really hard to swing away. We talked about the injuries with Mike Vrabel and all sorts of that, but it's hard to pick away from that guy right there. And he already won one kind of title. Right. Yesterday it came out that the Fox NFL, the kind of fan-voted Vrabel, is their coach of the year. But there's plenty of awards to give away, and I think one of them is the MVP that we haven't talked much of. And, Ray, I don't know about you, but it's hard to switch away from what Tom Brady's kind of done in these past couple of weeks, 23 touchdown passes.
I knew Tom Brady was going to come up.
I mean, it's just hard to believe for me, because he's a guy that I kind of wanted to travel over to Nashville whenever that free agent cycle was.
Many Titans
through.
Fans did,
and I was one of those. And I was of course, there was always the NBA watch where his wife was over at Montgomery Bell Academy mm-hmm. looking for schools. I mm-hmm. was one of the people with the binoculars and the trees looking and
you
and
were that
trying
guy
to find Tom Brady. But I've been really been impressed with him, and I think post New England, he's just he's a fun guy to root for. Quite
right.
Frankly.
No, I. What Tom Brady has done has been nothing but spectacular. But I can't overlook what Aaron Rodgers has done. I mean, I know that we had talks about, like we talked about in the last podcast, with Jonathan Taylor. He was an MVP candidate. He didn't even break 2,000 yards. He had the opportunity. And what happened? Him and the Colts were sent home by Jacksonville. Then you look at Aaron Rodgers. I know that he won it last year, but you can't overlook the type of body of work that he's placed out there. I mean, he's had, 30 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. I mean, he beat a good Arizona team without any of his star players. No Devontae Adams, who was out with COVID. I mean, he didn't have Aaron Jones as well. I mean, and he went to Arizona and beat him convincingly, you know? So it's hard for me to see that. And now, you and I are going to go over our predictions of the games this weekend. We heard what Mike Petrillo said. We heard what Alan Bell said. But we're going to talk about what we think about each game. Like, before we go and talk about the games itself, tell me what game you're actually looking forward to.
For me, I think the game I'm most looking forward to is that Monday night game, just because I see that one going either way. Both teams really aren't coming in extremely hot in the Arizona Cardinals and the LA Rams. Both of them have problems, quite frankly. And I think one of the problems the LA Rams have is a guy they traded for. I think Matthew Stafford is starting to kind of rear his ugly head just a tad in terms of just the turnovers, turning the ball over too much, putting the ball in harm's way. But Kyler Murray doesn't have the weapons that he'd had at the start of the year, getting some guys back. To me, I think that is the game of the week, and I think the NFL knew that and put it in that slot. It's a standalone game. Everybody's going to be watching it. Nobody's going to be thinking about the games on Saturday and Sunday. I think it's all eyes on L.A., and I think in that shiny, bright new stadium, I see the Rams kind of pulling that one out. I've kind of gone back and forth with it, but I think – with what they've done with Odell, they don't have really any draft picks in this upcoming draft in April. I see them having enough in the tank to get it done, and I think it's not really going to be the offense. I see the defense just being an issue. Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. Mm-hmm. The stars are there. It's just whether or not the team can get it done.
Yeah, I think the loss of Hopkins is going to hurt. I think it's going to eventually – I know that he's been in and out of the lineup all season long, but when he's been on there, he's been able to produce. It seems like he's Kyler Murray's number one guy. And I think him not being there, especially during the playoffs, I think it's going to hurt Kyler Murray, because we see flashes of A.J. Green showing up, Christian Kirk. Chase Edmonds coming back does provide some type of a security blanket for Murray, but, you know, you're going against a Rams team that are going to be clicking on all cylinders. I really think, for me, the game I'm actually looking for, like I talked about earlier between the chess match, between Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn. I'm looking forward to that Finers game. I'm looking forward to that Deebo Samuel versus Micah Parsons matchup. I think that's going to be the matchup that's going to be talked about a lot, because these guys, I think they're going to be pinning on each other, because for me, Deebo Samuel is going to be the X factor in that game. It's not going to be CeeDee Lamb. It's not going to be Zeke. It's not going to be Micah Parsons. It's going to be Deebo Samuel, because he can throw the ball, he can rush the ball, and he can he's a pass catcher as well. He's a jack of all trades.
He's a unicorn.
Yeah.
And really, Shanahan has done a good job kind of turning him into that, because there really wasn't much talk of him kind of lining up behind the quarterback and being a running back. But that is another game, and quite frankly, I think the Cowboys are in trouble. I read off his stat kind of while you were getting one of our guests lined up, but Ezekiel Elliott barely eclipsed 1,000 yards. He got 1,002 yards this season. So not the year that many thought he would have after signing the contract a few years ago. But really, it's all on Dak and that offense to me. I think the defense is going to come to play. But I think just with the offense that Shanahan and company can kind of put together with Jimmy G, I think he's playing a little bit better down the stretch. I think it's all on Dak whether or not he can keep pace. And you mentioned it, kind of against the bad teams, Dak looks like an all-time. He looks like an all-time great in terms of those. But in Arizona, he looked like just any other guy, quite frankly, at the quarterback position. So that game is going to be tough. I think there's just numerous games where you just look at it. To me, I think the Bills and Patriots is one of those games where I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what Bills team is going to show up. Are you going to get a November, October Bills team? Or are you going to get kind of a December, January where they've started to run the ball with real efficiency? So that's why they play the game ultimately. Go out there and see who can get it done.
So we've got all the information we need from the Bengals versus Raiders. Yep. Who are you going with?
I'm going with the Bengals. I don't see the Raiders having enough offensively. Derek Carr, this is his first playoff game, oddly enough. So
Joe Burrow's too?
Exactly. So one is a very young player in Joe Burrow. Another one is Derek Carr. He feels like he's been in the league forever. His hairline suggests that as well. But I see this one being Joe Burrow and company. It's a team, they don't know no better. They don't know the playoffs any more than any other team. So I see them being a little bit naive and getting out of there with a victory.
Yeah, I think both these teams match better up against one another than most people think. Defensively, I mean, here's the thing. I think that those edge rushers in Njoku and Crosby are going to cause fits to that Bengals offensive line. I really do. Because I know they can't give enough time for their secondary to do what they need to, because you're going against three stellar, superb wide receivers, right? Then you got Joe Mixon, that's also the Swiss Army knife. He's also in the backfield. I want to say Bengals, but I'm going to go with Bengals. I just think that Darren Waller coming back, I think that he's going to be the X factor in that game, but I think that it's not going to be enough. I think that as many receptions, I'm not even counting out Renfro. You still got Renfro in there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's eclipsed 1,000 yards. He had over 100. I mean, the guy is Derek Carr's best friend on that team. Like, that's his boy. But I got to go with the Joe Burrow. I think Ja'Marr Chase comes up and shows up in this game, as well as the other wide receivers, and I think the Bengals win as well. But let's go to the next game. Let's talk about your boys, the Bills, Patriots. Talk about that. Who are you going with?
You know, it's hard to pick against the hood, as Jim Rome calls Bill Belichick.
<The hood. laughs>
So it's hard for me not to get that picture. Mike talked about it. It wasn't so much the cold that affected the Bills and Patriots. It was that wind. But I just see this one kind of being one of those games where you look up and it's already 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter and Bill Belichick and company has the football. So I see Bill Belichick getting this one. Don't need a whole lot from Mac Jones. I think he will make the occasional play. But like I said, I just see time of possession being big in this one. And I see the game planning by Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick as being enough in this game for the Patriots to steal away a win against the Bills on the road.
Wow, so you're taking the Patriots. I'm taking the Bills. I think the Bills got this game. I think they match up. I think they're starting to find their streak a little bit. I think they're finding to find their mojo a little bit. I think Josh Allen just threw out there just for like just media clout. Just like, oh, yeah, I just dominated. Really, I don't. Dude, stop complaining. You're built to play in Buffalo. And I know then the fourth quarter when they start running with you, we've seen, like I talked about, Cam Newton, the big running back, the big quarterbacks that can run. In cold weather, they're not trying to go against a guy like that. So I think he's going to try to impose his will, and I think they're going to win a very close game at home. But let's talk. And then we've got Sunday. We got the Eagles and the Bucks. I mean, as you think about this, we talked about Antonio Brown and how much of a loss. Alan Bell mentioned about how significant that is. Let's talk about who's going to be the X factor for, let's say, because Tom Brady, you know, he's been there, done that. Gronk's been there, done that. Leonard Fournette's been there, done that. They both Super Bowl, you know, reigning champions, you know, from last season. Who's the biggest X factor? Who's going to step up and take, you know, in that receiving core, tight end core? Will Mike Evans have to step up? Would it be Gronk? Is he going to, I mean, who do you see as opposed to, I mean, are they going to ride the wave with Fournette now that he's healthy?
Yeah, actually, I was kind of going to go that way, and either Leonard Fournette or Keyshawn Vaughn, the local kid, played at Vanderbilt, grew up here in Nashville. We kind of said the weather forecast in the Greg Pogue, John Burton show. It's kind of torrential rain, wind up to 20, 30 miles an hour. So I think even though as much as Tom Brady would like to, I don't know how many opportunities he's going to really have to win them the game. I think one thing he can't do is lose them the game. I think that's one thing the Eagles have in their favor. They don't like to pass it a ton anyway. When they do, it's more than likely to Devontae Smith or someone like that. So for me, I've got Leonard Fournette and Keyshawn Vaughn being big in this one. I see kind of Tampa Bay taking the air out of the football, running the ball, using that big old line up front. So I'm going with the run game. I just think the weather permits it. I don't think Tom Brady and Bruce Arians will kind of force their hand in any way. And we saw it in the Super Bowl, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. They didn't. The only thing they couldn't do in that game was lose them the game, and they did that. And right. Brady made the throw when he needed to. But I see that run game being the X factor for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm with you on those. I don't think Eagles have a shot. I know they played a close game. I think it was 26-22 during the regular season. I just don't see that happening again. I think that the Eagles, young coaching staff, young team, Jalen Hurts, you know, I just don't see it happening going against Tom Brady. Or maybe it could be the same thing last year when Washington came in, when they played Washington. They might surprise you and took Tampa Bay to the brink. Even though they won by double-digit points, but still, I mean, they did everything they could last year going against the Bucs, the Washington football team, and maybe the Eagles have something up their sleeve. But I still take Tom Brady, the GOAT, who's been there and done that, to win the game. Then let's talk about Eagles, 49ers. No. God, why don't I'm all over the place. There's so much to cover. 49ers, Cowboys. I'm going to take the 49ers on the upset here. I think they're a physical team. I think that Dak, even though he's 3-0 at home, during wild card weekend, I don't care. I just don't think that I think there's Shanahan's going to have something up his sleeve. I think they're going to run the ball. I think they're going to control the clock. They're going to keep Cowboys offense off the field as much as they can and do what they can. I think that Nick Bosa is going to run rake havoc against. I think that defensive line is very underrated for the 49ers, and I think they're going to cause the Cowboys a lot of problems in that game.
I've gone back and forth in the I think in the podcast we did on Monday. I ended up picking the 49ers, but I hope you didn't place a bet because I'm switching. I'm switching. I'm going on Dallas here. I don't know what it is. I've just kind of had that feeling where
it's Alan Bailey's fault. It's Alan Bell's fault. He convinced you.
It exactly is. He's got me in his brain right now. I've kind of swinging rent-free through it. But I see this Cowboys team doing enough. I don't see the run game being really any difference at all. The 49ers are really good against the run. But for the Cowboys, Dak Prescott, I just look at it. He's the better quarterback. He's got the better weapons. No Michael Gallup, but in terms of Amari Cooper, I see them being enough, as well as CeeDee Lamb. So for me, I like the Cowboys other than no particular reason than they have the quarterback. I see Jimmy G kind of giving up a turnover or two to kind of give it away.
So did you see – let's talk about the Chiefs Steelers. Did you see what Nick Wright said the other day? So basically he said that if he were the Steelers, if he was the head coach, he would rest most of his stars because he would consider this almost like a bye week. Like, I'm thinking to myself, Nick, what are you doing, dog? Like, what are you saying? Like, is the media in Kansas City, are they really overlooking the Steelers? Because we heard what Ben Roethlisberger said, like, oh, we shouldn't even be here. You know, like, you know, it's surprising that we are because we know that, you know, that we had a very slim to zero chance to make the playoffs. But here we are. We're going to the wild card weekend. We're going against the Chiefs, who did not look that great because they didn't look great during the regular season when they played one another. I think when the Steelers pressured or blitzed Mahomes, he was 4-for-4, 59 yards for 2 touchdowns. But I don't think the Steelers were healthy. I think they were doing a lot of stuff. Juju might be back. They don't know yet. They have 21 days to bring him back because I know he came back from injured reserve. I don't know how much of an effect. It's almost like the TikTok bowl.
Yeah.
Versus like Mahomes' brother versus JJ Juju Smith-Schuster. It's like the TikTok. But I really feel like a lot of times the Chiefs, you know, and the media pundits and even fans are overlooking the Steelers. I know, and we heard what Alan said. You know, we've run this well dry with the whole, like, Ben Roethlisberger, his you know, retirement, you know, tour, whatever.
Farewell game.
You know, yeah, whatever game, whatever. But I think there's always something to be said there. Najee Harris is a difference maker. I mean, the guy had, what, 200 yards in that last game of the season? I mean, the guy was, he was 180 yards or whatever. Najee Harris is going to be the X factor in that game.
I really think there's something to be said about maybe overlooking the Steelers, because I know I was whenever the Titans came up against it. I didn't give it a second mind. I just looked at Big Ben. He can't throw the ball past the line of scrimmage. It was really about stopping Najee Harris, and that's what the Titans did, quite frankly. They did a good job there, but still ended up losing it. I think the defense is going to give the Chiefs some problems, but I just don't see Ben Roethlisberger doing enough, because I think Mahomes is going to at least score 3 or 4 touchdowns, just because – at the end of the day, he's kind of figured it out. He kind of had the issues against Cincinnati a few weeks ago. But thing is with Cincinnati, when Mahomes was kind of found that pass, found that touchdown, they had Joe Burrow on the other end to kind of match it toe for toe. Big Ben can't do that. So I see this one. I don't see it being the kind of 2 touchdown point favorite what Kansas City is right now. But I don't see Big Ben doing enough in the game. I've got Kansas City moving on and kind of advancing forward. I would not rest them.
I don't know what that was all about. Do you think this will be a closer game than most people think?
I think it is. I think the Steelers' defense is good enough. They've got T.J. Watt playing on about 18 broken ribs right now. Mike can get himself another sack. But when you got a defense like that, it's hard to kind of put forth a 2-touchdown favorite, especially against Mike Tomlin, because Alan Bell mentioned it. It's hard to punk Mike Tomlin twice. And if they were to kind of get the 12.5, I think you could say Tomlin got punked twice.
Just because you said that, I'm going Steelers.
There we go.
And I don't care. I'm not even going against the points. I'm going to win outright.
Right.
I think Steelers, because we've seen the NFL season. It's been chaotic. Yeah. It's been drama-filled. The playoffs are going to continue that. And this is my one drama pick. The Steelers are going to upset the Kansas City Chiefs. Do I think the Kansas City Chiefs are a better team? Yes. Can Ben Roethlisberger throw the ball? No. It hasn't been like that for the last 3 years. That's why they stopped going through those deep routes and stuff like that. Had no running back, even with James Conner or whatever. They were showing the short out routes, 5 to 8 yards. But I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson because he came out and said it. After we win this game, don't come jump back on the bandwagon. So Deontay Johnson saying we're going to win. So I'm riding with Deontay Johnson here. And Deontay, if you're listening to this, this is for you, man. I'm picking the Steelers.
Well, I can kind of see where you're coming from there, but I will say this. The NFL, I think more than any year, it's been headline-driven. All the way from Aaron Rodgers in the summer, it's gone back and forth between have teams found out Kansas City, it was like fraud Mahomes, all that sort of stuff. But at this point, nothing will surprise me, quite frankly, even though I think if the Steelers won, it would surprise me. I take that back. The Steelers won, it would surprise me.
So you talked about the Rams and the Cardinals. I think there's a lot of pressure on Matthew Stafford. Like, if you can compare this, the pressure in terms of, like, well, maybe I can ask you, I mean, you tell me, who has more pressure, Matthew Stafford or Dak Prescott? And I would think that Matthew Stafford probably, you have Dak Prescott signed that mega deal in the offseason, supposed to be that guy. You've got the star in your helmet. You've got Dallas. I mean, we all know Dallas is beloved by many here in the country. Ton of fans, whether it be Fayweather fans or legitimate fans. Then you've got the Rams. Made all these picks, traded away their future, much like the Houston Texans did, but they did it the right way and got something out of it, and they are able to compete year in and year out. And you look at what the Rams can do, I think Matthew Stafford has a lot of pressure, and I think that because of the loss of Hopkins, I think there's deficiencies on that Arizona defense, especially in the secondary. I think they're going to exploit it. I think that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to have a solid game. I think they're going to try to do whatever they can to encompass Cup. I think Cam Akers coming back. He's got a game under his belt now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be able to provide something. I think that, honestly, I think the Rams are going to go far in the NFC on their way to the playoffs. But they live and die by Matthew Stafford.
And they're kind of built for the playoffs. I think when you look at it, it's kind of been Odell Beckham. They got him for this reason. They got him because they knew teams would try and kind of bundle up Cooper Kupp whenever they could. But you can't double-team Cooper Kupp and let Odell run wild. So I think it's kind of big on that aspect. What can Arizona do defensively to kind of get things back? I talked about it with J.J. Watt. He's coming back. So it'll be kind of big to see what they can do. Arizona's got some pressure itself. Cliff Kingsbury, he was kind of the hot team in October to in November. He's kind of tampered off here just a tad. Got a big win against Dallas, though. So I think this one's going to be interesting. For me, I see L.A. doing enough. They've kind of built this team to win in the postseason. Sean McVay, I think he's a really good head coach. So I think it's really big for them to kind of get things going early and often in the game. But for me, I like L.A. doing enough for them.
Yeah. Who do you think is super robust more for, the Cowboys or the Rams?
What?
Because Jerry Jones already came out there and put it out there. He said it's a boomer bust. It's a boomer Super Bowl bust for them for their season, right?
Yeah.
From all the expectations they had.
I think both of them are Super Bowl or bust. But I think the thing is with L.A., they have mortgaged the future so much more than what Dallas has. They've got draft picks to come ahead in April. Thing is with L.A., it's all or nothing this season. If not, they're going to have a really hampered down roster just because they won't have any rookie contracts to give out there and kind of give the salary cap some help. So for me, I'm going L.A. just because what they did in the trade market, because quite frankly, they've told you up front, we don't really care about draft picks next year.
So let me get this straight. So you're basically picking every team that's favored. Is that right? Just about. So you've got Chiefs, you've got Bengals, you've got Bucks, you've got Rams, you've got Chiefs, and you've got...
My one underdog is the Patriots.
The Patriots.
I just see that one being a problem. I think thing is, between the underdogs and the favorites, they're just so close together. But
it feels like a pick 'em, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't seem like they match. They're both the same team.
And really, last year when you looked at it, we saw a lot of favorites win just because really the home – we saw a lot of underdogs win just because home and away really wasn't that much of a difference. With COVID, there weren't full stadiums. This season, I think that home field advantage will kind of get put back in there. So that's why kind of my Super Bowl picks have kind of been with Lambeau, because I see that being a fortress like – it really should be. Aaron Rodgers has not made it a fortress in the postseason, but I see home field advantage being big this season.
Right. I'm with you. I mean, I think of the upsets. I don't know. I just feel like there's going to be more upsets. I feel like there's going to be a lot more surprises than what many people think. I don't want to be the guy that always goes and picks the winners. I just don't want to be him. Because every time I was always like, it's scary for me to even say the Titans and Packers are going to go to the Super Bowl. Because it never happens that way.
Yeah.
You know, the two number one teams in both conferences always go to the Super Bowl. It never happens. It's usually like the number two versus number one or 2-2 or whatever. You know, then you always, but there's always that Cinderella. And I'm thinking that a lot of people are overlooking the Steelers, especially with the comments. I mean, all that Nick Wright is doing is giving bulletin board material for the Steelers.
Right.
That's all he's doing. You're just pissing them off more. We do know Mike Tomlin has had a winning season every year he's coached. You can't overlook that. And the Steelers, I mean, honestly, Minkah Fitzpatrick, I mean, they have players that are difference makers. I know that the defensive line might be a struggle, but look, last time I remember, Kansas City can't run the ball. Kansas City, I mean, they just much like the other teams, they struggle to have a sustainable running back, whether it be Hilaire, who's been in and out of the lineup. You've got Gore. You just don't know who to trust back there. So what does Mahomes do? He's going to throw the ball, and I think that he's going to probably create some mistakes. And we've seen what happened with Kansas City when they play at home. They're not that dominant. 2 years ago, they were down by the Texans by 24 points. Titans, we played against them. They were down against us, came back in the second half. They won both games. Last year, Cleveland. Cleveland was dominating them last year. They were dominating them until the last of the third quarter, and Baker Mayfield makes that interception, and it just changes that trajectory of the game, and you just changed everything, and Kansas City wins up the game. But that was Kansas City's game. Well, in the fourth, they had it. So I don't want to hear like, oh, Kansas City's tough to play at home, whatever. I've not seen over the last couple of games. A lot of teams, I think they come in, the Kansas City Chiefs, like, we've got Arrowhead, we've got the fans, we've got the noise, we've got this, we're that, we got Mahomes. We're just going to outright win. We've got the media on our side telling us that we should take a bye week. Stop. That's nonsense. Stop with that nonsense.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that before. A team not on a bye week, an actual bye week, rests their players.
When I saw that, I was like, you got to be kidding me. And the rest of the people on that panel were like, did you just say that? But Nick Wright's all been about the Kansas City Chiefs since day one. I mean, he's even last year.
He's got the Mahomes headband. Oh, with the hair going everywhere.
That's fine. That's fine. Like, root for you guys, but like, let's be practical. And that's what we try to do here, in my opinion. We try to be realistic here. We cover the Titans here at National Sports Radio. But overall, like, you know, it just, we have to be real. Like, there's a lot of teams, especially like we talked to Mike, where he said that, you know, the Bengals are, you know, how they are. They are a very scary team. They might upset the Titans. Yeah. They have all the necessary pieces to move. I mean, they've been out. When was their last playoff victory? Was it been 30 years? They've been 0-7, right?
Mm-hmm. With Carson Palmer.
Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, and, you know, with that squad. And then you got the, you know, I mean, you just don't know. They could come in here and just, like, show, you know, just show out. And we're like, huh, what happens?
And really the Titans know that better than anybody because they did it to a team in Baltimore. Right. But ultimately, I'm excited for some NFL playoff football, super wild card, super duper wild card weekend. But I'm ready to just plop in my couch and watch football.
Before we get out of here there, Patton, where can they find you, buddy, on social media?
Well, I got Twitter. Really, that's my mainstay of social media, Patton_Cook on Twitter. I've got just tweeting out Cavs propaganda, Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. Hopefully can make an all-star game. So you can find me there. I would like to plug. I'll be on ESPN Plus tomorrow at 1:30 as Austin Peay and EIU will be women's basketball.
That's so right.
I'm going to plug that information. Pay the $4.99. I'll kind of pay you back.
Right. Fantastic. Also, like I said, I'm Ray Doskowy. In my opinion, you can find me here on the podcast. We do a couple times a week. We're going to have Pan on regularly now. He's the guy. This is his podcast. I'm just here to hang out. but you find me here on the Afternoon Stretch from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday on WNSR 95.9. You can find us on Facebook as well as on Twitter. We're with Zach and Bruno and myself, and we just chop it up. We're probably going to talk a little more about playoff stuff like coming up, you know, later today, going into Super Bowl weekend. I'm really excited about that. I mean, this is the time I'm looking forward to, but I just don't know what's going to happen, but I'm really excited about how things are structured. I'm ready for the chaos, the drama. I can't wait, Patton. We're going to try to catch up probably next week, talk about more of the games and stuff like that. That's Pat Cook, the General. I'm Ray Doskowy. This is In My Opinion.